SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do this thing. All right, when do the Olympics start again? What time is it? It's midnight Eastern time right now, which means it's 6 in the morning in Paris. So in other words, the event should be starting pretty shortly. And we've got some Olympic bets for you. Good news, bad news. I got drilled today in like sort of game action. But a lot of the futures are doing pretty well. Wild stuff today at the Olympics. So, yeah, man, you watch this stuff. There's so much drama. It's just so cool. For like one sport after another, Alicia Newman broke the internet today. Very attractive Canadian pole vaulter. And remember, Kurtz, I told you, you said you liked my tweet the other day when I said, yeah, you know what? You watch the Olympics and you're crazy if you're not. And I said the story like the Olympic Committee told the television network, stop like trying to don't like focus in on anyone in a sexual way. And they were like, you know, don't sexualize the athlete. So it was great. The girl from Canada today nails this big jump. And she's basically like on the list of like the hottest athletes and all this. So everyone loves her to begin with. So she nails the jump. And after the jump, she twerks.
Yeah.
She like bent over and started doing this dance. The cameras cut away right away. But it broke the internet. And she ended up winning the bronze medal. But great drama with all these events from there it is, too. I hit the parlay here. I'm looking for a parlay tonight in this sports climbing stuff. But Quincy Hall coming back to win the 400 meters today. Watching the boxing, unreal boxing scenes, wrestling, all kinds of dramatic, like gold medals on the line. Look, we're at the part of the Olympics now where most of the events are the finals now or the heat to go to the finals. So all this stuff is some serious drama, and we've got Miroslaw. Man, this stuff's coming up here. Woman's speed and men's speed sports climbing. So, George, before we get you out of here, any NFL preseason football bets for us?
Well, I liked when you guys talked about when we talked about it on Monday. All right, I think look for teams that are playing more starters than others. We hear Pat Mahomes going to play a quarter, according to Randy Reid here. Raiders with the quarterback battle are each going to play a quarter, it looks like. So I'll hit on both of those teams because they're just going to play their starters more than the other teams here. So I'm just going to go with that. Jared Goff probably is not going to play, so maybe might like the Giants a little bit, but I don't think Daniel Jones plays either.
They've been very undecided about Daniel Jones, but I will say, for betting on the preseason, this is a lesson for everybody. Don't overreact to who is starting. Always sort of start at the back end. Because who is starting, even let's say, you know, okay, if it's a great, even like with Tom Brady or whatever, he wouldn't always score in the preseason on the drive. So let's say even the best one does. Okay, they give you a 7-0 lead and then they're out of the game, right? But I will say one thing with Reed, it's interesting. You just talked about Mahomes playing. That is crazy, isn't it? Don't you think, Kurtz? But that's the way they roll. And, you know, like Mahomes wants to play. He feels that he should and stuff. But you look at, like, you know, they'll baby Caleb Williams, but there's Mahomes out there. Sort of like what I talked about years ago, Cam. I'm like, look how they coddle Kyler Murray in a loss, and Tom Brady's out there losing 38-0, getting pissed off still.
Yep.
Right? So it's sort of like Mahomes. When I talked about people liking him, like if you're a teammate of Mahomes, you like this kid. He's not some pretty boy that's like, yeah, you guys go out there and play in the preseason. I don't do that. I'll see you next month. No, they're like, man, this guy wants to get out there, right? And it's contagious. I'm just saying, I don't like teams that sit everybody in the preseason. That's my point. I think you should get guys out there. Guys get hurt in practice like anyways. You don't kill yourself in the game, but get some snaps, get some reps. Because then week one, Cam, you don't do anything, and it happens all the time. Guy didn't do anything in the preseason. Week one, he gets hurt all the time. Oh, I pulled this. I got hit for the first time, and I got hurt. Look at Aaron Rodgers last year, George.
Yes, that's,
he got hit once, and it was done.
It's like, oh, I'm done. You're right. That's the thing, Gabe. And the thing is, when you start with Mahomes, you could get hurt week 8. You can get hurt week 2. You get
no, one, it's like you a goalie, Cam. 15, you want to get hit once in rubber. A preseason a little bit. Not hurt, but sort of, oh, hey, okay. You know what I mean? Like a goalie, you want to face a couple of hard shots early in the game, take a puck or something, and you feel it, you wake up.
I agree more. Even as a forward, the first time you get laid out or you get into the glass, it's like a wake-up call, like a nice cup of coffee or a Pepsi in the morning. That's what you want. You want. And you know what? You said it. That if you're the quarterback who's a star who doesn't need to do it, it's a lesson to everybody else. Look at me work and follow my lead. The Kansas City way is the right way. Agreed.
Even your boy Troy Aikman of the Cowboys, George, I remember last week talking about Caleb Williams, and he said, listen, if it was me, I would have played Caleb Williams tonight. And he said the same thing I said. He goes, I wouldn't have done anything crazy, but I would have had him see him hand the football off, take a couple of snaps under center, throw a pass or two, command in the huddle, just sort of take that baby step first. I don't like the coddling, George, in the preseason. Like I said, I don't want to be reckless with players, but you coddle, bad things only happen anyways, and or you're unprepared when the season starts.
Yeah, I think George has had the Pepsi over the keyboard. Gabe, I think he's gone. He's been kind of in that, he's history.
the cricket's gone into the keyboard.
Tumbleweed's back. Yeah, I looked at his face.
He's done.
It's
hard to tell with Kurtz, isn't it? If he's there or not. Like I don't know.
Sleeping or he's trying back. Yeah, you never know with Kurtz. He's got the generator out. Jerry generator.
Oh, yeah, like two more minutes with Kurtz.
God, thunder, man. Let me tell you, I was jumped out of my chair.
George, you lose power like when a squirrel like comes on your property or something. It's pretty quick.
That's the reason I have the generator, Cam. Remember back in the day when if someone sneezed, I would lose power. Power, it flickered.
Those generators, good generators. Top of the food chain right there, baby. They're amazing.
I've got a good one. It does the whole house here. I think I told you a story. The day my niece's father's an electrician, he's putting the generator in, and the day he's here, it's a beautiful summer day, and I see the PSEG. If you don't live on Long Island, you know who they are. We all hate them. And they're on the block. I know their names because they've been here so much. Like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're putting in a permanent fix today.
You know, George, when I lived there, I learned about these companies. Well, I realized, I was like, God, these people are so evil. I was like, I should invest in them. They're publicly traded. It's one of those deals where it's like, you know what? Should just make money. There's some companies where they can't lose. But I'm glad, you know what, Cam? See, I think of everything here. Kurt just said, man, we just got hit by Big Thunder. I'm thinking, oh, yeah? You're in New York. Let me check the weather for tomorrow night's football game. And
East Coast, we run a rain tomorrow.
Rain is expected. Remnants of Hurricane Debbie. 60% chance of heavy showers tomorrow night. And let me tell you, someone that basically lived at the Meadowlands, it's never nice there. Even if it's nice like everywhere else, it's never nice there. It's always like, gloomy. I swear to God, it can be sunny, and the closer you get, it just sort of gets darker. And like by the time you get there, it's like, wow, it's a weird, weird phenomenon here. So yeah, just for the record, very humid tomorrow and rain expected. So throw that in for the football game tomorrow night. All right, Kurtz, since you're going to be up tonight and you're alone, I recommend watch this sports climbing tonight in the Olympics.
I saw that yesterday. That's nuts. That was nuts. They fly up that thing.
And it's not short either. Like when you actually see how big it is, like from a scale, you're like, oh my God. Like, you should have seen too.
They're right, the sport climbers. Great bank robbers. Great, like the lasers. Oh, yeah. It's not quick enough for them. That's what they do. Exactly. Buy diamonds. These guys are so fast.
The cops would know. I saw a video of that actually in real life. Some modern kid that can do all this stuff took off from the cops. Same thing. He jumped on like a fire escape. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hands. He was on the roof and like. The cops were just sort of looking up like, we're screwed. Like I said, there's super, some of these kids, like, they can climb walls. What do they call it? Parlor. You know, they're old parlor dudes. You know what I mean? The type of kids that, like, jump in between buildings and stuff like that for fun. Nut jobs, huh? Like, they'll stand on top of skyscrapers and, oh, I'm going to jump on the other side. Like, look at me to get hits.
God bless. I ain't doing it. Not happening.
You know what does happen, though?
I start behind glass.
Tom Cruise does all of his own stunts for real.
Yes, he does.
He's a psycho.
He is.
Sports. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. Thanks to George Kurtz for joining us on the program. Ian Cameron will step up in a couple of minutes. We've got the Olympic medal count as action is set to begin in a couple hours. Once again, USA at the top of the board right now. It hasn't been easy to pass China, but the U.S. has had a great last 2 days of the Olympics. They really have. And they're now on pace to win 42, according to the Grace note. They had them at 39 before the Olympics started. I still went over to 39.5. They're not there yet, but when you look at the team sports, there's still 15 men's track and field events. The U.S. keep on sort of winning these weird events that they weren't supposed to win in. The women won two wrestling events in a row. USA in the last 2 days, gold medal. I wanted to get this tweet, but we had so many tweets. The girl that won today, she was real cute. She sent out her after on Twitter, and it was a picture of her, like, shocked that she won. She goes, "I just won an Olympic gold medal, dude." Right? Like, she was so, like, she's so, awesome. You know, like, surprised and stuff. But 2 days in a row, U.S. women won wrestling medals. There was a another gold cycling today for the U.S. The 400-meter men's was totally unexpected. The Quincy Hall wasn't supposed to win the race. He was losing in the race. He came back. He won the race. So the U.S. is up to 27 right now. Total 39.5, although it was 40.5, 41 at some spots. So total USA are up to 27 right now if we can get the medal count up for people. China at 25 right now. They're just sort of chipping away. Their total's 33.5, Cam. I'm getting close. I'm going to lose to France, bro. Yeah. We'll get to the French the woman golfer in a minute because she's rocking. And France's volleyball team's going to the final, and France's soccer team's in the final. Both France basketball teams are in the semifinals. What? France team sports doing extremely well right now, and we'll get to Celine in a second. But China up to 25 right now. There we need over 33.5. I got over 26.5 for France. That's not happening. They're at 13. And we already hit the Canada over 5.5. But speaking of France, France upset Italy today in volleyball, men's volleyball. Not a huge upset, but Italy were one of the co-favorites to win. They were minus 175 to win the match. We talked about it last night with McInnes. He liked the over, and we talked about, you know what, France looked good at +1.5 sets. Man, nobody thought that France was going to sweep Italy. They swept them 3-0. They drilled them. So Poland, now it's going to be Poland and France for men's volleyball for the gold medal. I've already got a future on Poland right now, so I don't know. Maybe I'll take a look at the number after, and we'll see that. That's only on Friday morning. And now we've got the women's golf started last night, and the French woman just took off an absolute tear for Céline Boucher in the opening round, Cam, a robust -7. She shot a 65, and she's got a nice little lead here right now, albeit a three-shot lead, but great golf, and she was really, really boistered by the passionate French fans that are on location.
We talked about it, Morenci, how she could be dangerous, and got her at 10-1. They had a bet end of round leader when I started watching, and there was a lot of girls left to go, so I hit that one for a few $100, which was nice.
Hey, Lopez played well last week, yeah. Cam, a Frenchman, yes. Too, right? So they're sort of feeling the buzz there, right?
They sure are, but it's going to be hard. And you said it, though, but there's a gap of 5 between, you know, they got 3-shot lead and 5. There's a lot of good players at like 2-1, but Gabe, I got to tell you, Nelly Korda at one point was 4-over. And she got it all the way back to even. She could have took herself right out of the Olympics, but she battled back. So a lot of golf left. 7 strokes you can make up for in a women's tournament. But her number at +190 is not good enough for me. I would look at somebody else.
Ian Cameron steps up in it. Babano, good to see you. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. The Olympic show on Saturday, Gabe, was fun joining you for that. And looking forward to some football this week. Lots of football. Preseason NFL, CFL. excited
Your
about
hair
it.
Looks great, Babano. Look at that. Look at that thing, Gabe. Perfect. Look at that. It's absolutely like, what a lid.
Yeah, it's getting a little higher.
Yeah. Referee hair.
A little bit of a coif there, Babano.
That's right.
Yeah, so you know what? Football, we were talking about Dolgala is going to get the start for the BC Lions. It's official. And what a difference a couple of weeks can make. And, you know, with perception and point spreads. And, listen, I don't think any of us were surprised that Trey Ford played as well as he did. It was almost like, wow, he didn't miss a beat. I mean, the guy hasn't played. He just steps in and he does this. Unbelievable. So I wasn't shocked at all. In fact, I was on the Edmonton Elks, and we loved the over of that football game, although I didn't money line it. That was just a little too courageous. I did take the him plus the points. But looking at the number here right now, not everybody has it up. The BC Lions and the Edmonton Elks, but FanDuel does, and they've got the Edmonton Elks right now, guys. What do you think of this, Cam? The Edmonton Elks, 1.5-point home favorites over the visiting BC Lions.
That's ambitious. It's a little bit.
Like, I get that Vernon Adams is out, but Babano, what do you think of this? The game is Edmonton are favored by 1.5 points now.
I think they have a good chance to win this game because I think it's a big drop off VA to Jake Dolagala. Although Jake Dolagala is experienced, he'll have a full week of practice, and he will be up against one of the worst defenses in the CFL. So I actually do think BC is going to move the ball. I'm just looking at total in this game with over 49. It's actually my favorite over on the CFL card this week. Edmonton, as far as long as Trey Ford stays their quarterback, they're an over team, in my opinion. They're going to be able to move the ball. They're going to be able to score points, but their defense still isn't that great. So over for me, and I was talking with Rob Vino about this game earlier today. He thinks both team totals might cash in this game, and I agree with that. I think both teams could go over their team total. BC at 23.5, a discount with Dolagala. And I think Ford can probably lead Edmonton to more than 25.5 points as well.
BC's not losing this game coming off of a 25-0 loss in which they had four first downs.
I can't believe Edmonton's favored. Like, that's really ambitious, Gabe. That's kind of stupid, actually.
It is.
I'm going to make sure the BC Lions know about this. I know these guys. I'm going to let them know.
You better get on the floor.
I am.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi Babano in the house with us. So as we were saying, Celine Boucher, 7-under. I want to get the odds up for this. We were looking at the leaderboard, but let's get the updated odds for the women's golf, because it's going to be teeing off shortly.
Soon.
In Paris. All right, so we've got Celine Boucher plus 190 right now. Nelly Korda, defending gold medal champion, who struggled early, but she fought back, plus 600. You know Brooke Henderson had a bad day when she hit a 48-foot putt for an eagle, and she's not on this screen right now.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Like I said, it was a hell of a putt. It was the last. It was her last hole of the day. She sunk a 48-foot putt, and it was good for an eagle, but not good enough. So Nelly Korda's plus 600 right now. Lillian Vu, who I took like 2 weeks ago or last week, whatever, in Canada, playing well. She's a plus 600 right now. I got to tell you, who's this? Tikali? What's her name?
She's amazing.
I kind of regret not betting her, actually. I saw her around. I was like, man, like, here she is. She's still lurking right now, bro. To me, if we want to talk about odds, she's the best odds right now. Like, she's right in the mix with everybody else, and you're getting 14-1 still. That's the pick, Cam, in my opinion.
I'm so proud of you, buddy, and I told you I put her up for the top 5 and 10 board. People don't know she's one of the best golfers in the world because there are so many Asian golfers from Vietnam. People don't know. Also, great call by you, Morenci. If you want to look at somebody, I'm already on Zhang, but Minji Lee at 16-1, too. You have to look at these names. This girl, Buhai, is very, very young. She's a dangerous player, but I'm not sure if she can get, like, she's, it's very nerve-wracking to take it wire to wire. There's a lot of pressure on Bucci. So, Gabe, I'm with you with Didikal, and I think Minji Lee at 16-1. If I were to look at the value board, those are the two that I'd be looking at. Great call by you. I'm already on her. And at that price, I might sprinkle some more.
Babano, any thoughts on the women's golf, and or do you have any Wyndham picks for us?
I'm probably looking more at Rojong at 20-1. I'm interested at that price. It's not bad for someone with pretty good ability. Lynn Grant at 50-1 is kind of interesting that she's dropped that low. First round. Yeah, I think a little better than I would expect from her moving forward, because she was expected to do better than what we saw from her in the first 18 holes. So if you're looking for value, I'd look at a couple of those. Of course, Nelly Cord is never out of it, and she's still up there at plus 650. But I think I'd go Rojong and I'd go Lynn Grant for value.
Right now they have the although this is this isn't live right now, this is from like earlier or whatever on the Olympics. They're showing the sports climbing again. This isn't the speed one. You check this out on CBC. This isn't the speed one. This is what they call the lead one. It's freaking crazy, man. I don't know how, like, you see the side angle, they're higher than buildings in the city are. Like, when they show, like, the side shot, like, they are freaking high up here, man. They have a rope, but this is a really, really cool sport. Pretty cool spectator sport, too. Yeah. Yeah, everyone's just sitting. It's like a rock show. It's, like, on a big stage. It looks like a rock show. There's a big stage, and they got, like, two walls, like, built on this stage, and everyone just has seats. Although, in France, kind of a disappointment, and I'm glad I'm not there for this. They're not selling alcohol at any of the venues, Cam, or Babano.
See you later. I'm out of here. Going to go hit the radio stand, but that's unacceptable.
It's a long. What are we? The Middle East here. World Cup in Qatar. I thought you were wine is fresh. What are we doing here? What are you talking about?
Evian. What am I doing? Drinking Evian. Come on. Give me a great
spirits over there. Yeah.
Well, Gabe, I'll tell you something, too. New sports are coming in. After watching this stuff, you're right. Power walking's got to go. I think we should do, watching this stuff. We got to eliminate
I don't mind the power walking. I don't mind it, Cam. The speed walking, I don't mind it.
I don't like
give us your speed walk, Babano. You got the form down.
Babano, when you're hustling to the window. I'm just going to say, Gabe, I have a problem with people jogging and walking. It's the way it's refereed.
Yeah, but they should just rename it jogging and just have it jogging.
Okay. Sure, have a jog contest.
Because that's what they're doing. I watched it last night. They had the mixed relay, and no one was walking. They were all basically jogging. And I'm like, I don't think you guys understand. You're supposed to be walking. Yeah. Like, I would make it like it should be like penguins. Like, it should be like, listen, your feet aren't allowed leaving the ground. Like, you've got to, waddle along. Like, that's the thing. Right. You got to waddle. Like, not this, like, brisk, like you said, too. Some of them just push the envelope and start running, and they get away with it. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, they don't walk. Like, that sport has evolved. Like, they should just say, okay, we're calling it jogging now, and have a speed limit or something. So you can't go into a full sprint, but, like...
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Yeah, that didn't look like walking to me. Sorry.
No, it was
no. If you see them in battle, they're cruising, bro. Because you see the cameras going alongside of them, and it's super fast. Like, they're not walking. Like, they're hopping.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We just kept on discussing. We're outraged by the dryness of the Olympics. Like, seriously. Me and Cam went to a football game in Mississippi. We went to a Mississippi State game, and no one told us, because I think they knew we wouldn't have gone. So, no one, brought it up to us. And I'll never forget, we drank a lot. Like, we were on a bender for like 2 or 3 days before the game. And it was an early morning game and whatever. So we rolled through the morning into the game. And it was like 11 in the morning. And it literally is like one of the hottest days in the history of the world. It was like humid as hell, that south type, like just hot, like and sticky. And we get to the stadium. And I walk in, and the first thing I see is like a Dr. Pepper like stand and stuff. It's the SEC, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna walk over to the next concourse here in section. Then I see like a lemonade stand and like popcorn. I literally like did a whirlwind around the stadium. I'm like, where's the beer? Where are the drinks? And I was told, they're like, oh, this is a dry stadium. Read the back of your ticket. They see the ticket. I'm like no alcohol. And then we're sitting there, and all the kids at Mississippi State know this, and they're all slick. They're all moonshiners. They're literally like pulling baggies out of their like pants and like their girls. Everyone's got booze. Me and Cam are like hobos begging students. Like, yeah. We got a glass. I remember like I had a cup of Pepsi. I was like, can you pour some of that stuff in my cup? Like, please. They were like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't have a lot of it. And I was like, come
bunch
on,
bunch of
man.
Olivers. Please, sir.
I was begging people.
It was awful. We're like, $30 for an airplane bottle. They're like, no, get your own.
I remember one guy reluctantly came. Remember he gave like a bag, was all scuzzy. He's like, all right, guys, that's all I'm giving you. He gave me and Cam like a little shot into our glass. This Mississippi brutal. State student. We left after the first quarter, Babana. We're like, I can't sit here for 4 hours. I'm like, I can't do this.
Great bar.
And then we leave the stadium and I get outside, and then we find out that it's not just like a dry stadium, it's like a dry county. Mm-hmm. Like the stupid county that the stadium in doesn't sell alcohol. So we tell the cops, we're like, yeah, we're not from here. He goes, yeah, I could tell, guys, you're not from here. we're like, yeah, we're legal age, sir. We're allowed to drink, but where can we drink? Where do we go? And he goes, well, you gotta go to the next county, and we're like, son of a bitch. And the best part, he goes, oh, don't worry, the county's just up the hill. So we walk up this hill. Everything's closed everywhere. It's like out of a weird movie. It's like the South, like stores where everything was closed down. And it was weird. But then in the distance in the trees, we heard like this music going on. Amazing. And we found this kick-ass, like, oh, this is the place. It was a good time, actually. Mississippi was a good time once...
Great game,
you
know, too.
Once you figure
Odell
out where
Beckham
the booze
Jr., is. Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. was on LSU. Lee, that quarterback, it was a good game. Like, Mississippi State and LSU was a very good game. They covered.
It was good because, LSU won, but Mississippi State covered. We covered the point spread watching at the bar. There was a bar right near the stadium. Right up a dirt road, like, literally. So it's an interesting place there. All right, so about the Olympics coming up. I thought this was a little earlier. It's too bad it isn't. But so 6:35 in the morning, people on the East Coast, money, you won't see it. But the sports climbing gold medal match, I got a parlay. I hit with the woman last night, Miroslaw. I got a parlay with Miroslaw to win the woman and Samuel Watson to win the men. Watson's American, too. So let's rack up another medal for America here. Watson's American, too, -110. In fact, if you guys saw it, you saw Babano. He's the guy that set the world record earlier in the week, less than 5 seconds when you saw him go up there, like 4.7 or whatever. He's like the best in the world at this stuff. The guy, Leonardo, is +300 behind him. Pang Wu is +500. But Samuel Watson, like I say, he's the world record holder. He's been winning all week. He's been, he's head and shoulders above everybody. But it is a 5-second sports speed climb. Anything can happen. But I'm pulling the trigger on Samuel Watson tonight. In the sports climb. We didn't get to the basketball yet, and the semifinals are in the morning. So let's hit the basketball. France upsets Canada, and it was 4.5 here, guys. It's 5.5 now. And this is one of those games where I was kind of thinking, you know what, Germany probably win, but I was starting to talk myself into France a little bit at +4.5. And this comes from someone that really likes this German team a lot, but Germany smoked them. Like, this is going to be a close game. Like, France are back right now. They're one win away from the freaking gold medal game. We see how crazy and passionate the fans are for their games. They have a distinct home court advantage. We'll see if the refs screw Germany like they screwed Canada over. But it's too bad. Like, they're starting to box me out, Babano, here a little bit. Because I'm thinking, ah, Germany will beat them again, but it'll be kind of closer. Now it's up to 5.5. I'm getting a little bit weary of this, man. It wouldn't surprise me if this is a super close game, man.
Yeah, with the home court, too, playing in front of the home country and the home fans, it's hard for me to lay 5.5 with Germany, even though I think they're the better team. I like this German squad quite a bit. They didn't play a great first half against Greece, but they poured it on in the second half, and they ended up pulling away. And obviously, France, we saw what they did against Canada. A lot of that, though, was, look, you know, Canada didn't shoot well. They played their worst game, but you got to give France credit. I think what actually gives France a good chance in this game getting 5.5 is also that Wemby was quiet, Batum was quiet. A lot of the NBA guys for France didn't play a great game, especially offensively against Canada. It was really all the Euroleaguers and the non-NBAers, rain and threes, the big guys dominating in the paint, getting it done.
It was Wembanyama. Wembanyama terrorized Canada defensively.
He
took over. Like people said, they'd never seen someone dominate a game so much that only scored 7 points.
Yep.
Wembanyama takes too many threes in the Olympics. Like he thinks, yep. I don't know, he thinks he's Steph Curry. Like he keeps popping threes all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like get in there. Listen, man, like you said, though, it is true what Babano's saying. Rudy Gobert got benched, basically, but they told him before. So it wasn't like, oh, we're punishing you. They basically said Canada are small and we want to go sort of speed against them because we've got a size advantage. No. The whole thing with Gobert is he slows you down a bit. He's a defensive guy. So
yes.
You're going to see Gobert will play more in this game. It wasn't like a personal attack on Gobert, but he only played 4 minutes and Wembanyama scored 7 points. And like you said, Babano, they still won. The Lacoste guy owned them in the paint. The Cardinet guy, I don't know why the Cardinet guy is not in the NBA. They say plays on an Italian league, in the Euro League.
He was really good.
He was he looks like Caleb Martin or something. I'm like, this guy looks like he played in the NBA to me. But Germany are better. But it's just one of those games where I'm like, man, it really wouldn't surprise me if it was, you know, a 4-point game, a 3-point game, a 5-point game. Yeah. And now it's up to 5.5. And then the other one is USA and Serbia. Serbia are getting 16.5 points. The total is 187.5.
Yeah, that's a really high total. And I was on USA-Brazil over. I did like that total quite a bit on Tuesday, and the U.S. just laid it on thick, and then Brazil got enough late in the fourth quarter to get it over the total. Serbia plays with pace. You know, the U.S. offense hasn't been stopped. So I definitely lean over. I'm just worried, you know, 187.5. And even we saw it with Serbia-Australia where I had the over. That fourth quarter, it just bogged down. Defense has tightened up. And if not for overtime, that game doesn't go over the total.
Yeah, and Babano and Serbia will play. I get it. They did play a little more up-tempo. They can't play up-tempo against the U.S. They've already done this and lost. Jokic needs – if you're Serbia, I would tell Jokic, bro, just like – keep the ball, slow everything down, go super slow, frustrate the U.S. when you can on defense, turn it into a slow, ugly dogfight of a game. You can't run and gun with the U.S. You're not going to beat them, right? Germany will try. You'll see if Germany, you know, gets in there, Germany will probably say, you know, we're going to trade baskets with them, but it doesn't end well. So I think, to me, the U.S., you've got to play sort of dirty and start elbowing them and really try to play street ball. Try to piss them off.
Just in closing, Serbia, I'm going to trust that one of the best players, if not the best player in the sport right now, to lead Serbia to keeping it close. One of these games, the U.S. is going to be in for a battle. I think it might be this one. I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll try again with Serbia.
Yeah, one more time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
God, these are tough games. So USA and Serbia is at 3 o'clock Eastern time, noon Pacific. And France and Germany, 11:30 in the morning Eastern time, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. I'll get up for this one once again, whatever. I got to sleep eventually, but the Olympics are nearly ending. I want to see this game. I got to dig in deeper here, but my gut, and it's never a good idea if you're unsure, but my gut keeps coming back to France, guys, for some crazy reason, even though Germany's kicking ass and looks great. And like Babano said, at some books, up to six. We'll see if this thing continues to climb and I get a 6.5 or something like that. I don't think France get blamed. You know, okay, remember I said that I thought it hurt Canada that France got smashed in their game before. Mm-hmm. Because France were in a really bad mood from the opening tip-off. You could tell they were pissed off and they were determined and they were, like, not playing around. And it was a bad... I know Canada got a little overconfident seeing... They were all, oh, look at France. They didn't blow anybody out. Then they got smoked. Their offense isn't clicking. We're going to beat them. Don't worry about it. Next thing you know, you're down 20. Germany guys could come in as well, thinking, you know what? We just smoked these guys by 22 or whatever, like last week. You know, overconfident. Now you're going to have France, too, with a vendetta and revenge here. I don't know. It just feels almost like a trap, Germany. Nobody talked about Germany before the tournament much. Me and Vino did. Remember, Cam, we gave him as a medal even. Yep. But now suddenly everyone's like, oh, Germany, Germany. You know what I mean, Babano and Cam? When you gamble and no one likes a team and then everyone suddenly loves them, that's when they lose, Cam. That's what I'm
you
thinking.
You want to be...
Like, you're all walking into some German party now, and I feel like it's a trap.
It's not our first rodeo. Public dogs, and now this is the most public dog, is usually
yeah, we're getting Wembenyama, too, in
that's
France. It's not like we're getting a bunch of clowns. Like, we're not betting on Brazil here. No offense to Brazil, but you know what I mean? We got a real team here. Like
in the NFL, Gabe, you know rule number one, when everyone likes a dog, that's probably the wrong dog. You want the dog that nobody
No, when everyone thinks
about.
A team sucks and then they get good, like you're late on it. Like, I almost feel this, like, oh, I don't know, man. Now you're going to lay six against France in France?
Sometimes you got to trust your gut. Sometimes you could break all the numbers down in the world, but a lot of the times the gut is the one that's the voice inside your head telling you. And I'll tell you one thing, France, the one thing they can't do, Germany will let Victor shoot his threes, and that's what he does, and he does it too much. That's their
yeah,
path.
Don't do it.
It's just, don't do it.
You know what, like, another thing, though?
Yeah.
One thing, too, and I'm going to bring this up, actually, is I'm going to take France in the first quarter. Germany, despite their wins, have been slow starters in a lot of games. Schroeder doesn't come out hot ever. It's almost like, oh, he sort of looks like Dennis Schroeder, NBA Schroeder. He's 0-for-4 and he's taking bad shots. And then, there's always a switch that goes. Wagner is good. I mean, he's really good, obviously. Franz is amazing, but he's super aggressive. Like, I've watched all the German games. I've been betting on them. A lot of charges and little frustration in the paint with the referees. Germany chirp a lot to the refs. Like I said, it could be a snowball effect. If France come out hot again and they get that crowd going and Germany start taking bad fouls and the refs get on France's side again, could snowball effect. I'm just saying, guys, could snowball. And I'm with Babano, too. I'm going to die with Jokic on this. Like I said, just walk the ball up the court, bro. Let the other guys, if the other guys can hit a couple of threes, I'm with you. The U.S. got to get tested at some point. I think Serbia can at least test them tonight.
Well, if we like Serbia, and I don't like these bets that are tied to each other, but the under's the play because there's no way they can play at a fast pace and cover that number. If you like Serbia, I think we have to take the under, and I'm starting to buy into you guys.
I don't know, Gabe.
It's a lot of points still.
156.5 is light, though, for France and Germany. That's not a lot of points. If they open up and have a nice quarter and you get a quick 40-45 in the first, you're off and running. You're only going to need 105 points in three quarters. So looking at that number, I'm tempted. I get where you're going with the U.S. The U.S. always get to 100, 106 type thing. And so it's sort of what their opponent is going to do. Like Babano said, Serbia can push it. But it seems to me that they'd be better off just sort of slowing it down with Jokic a little bit. So that's the basketball stuff there. CFL football, we talked about it a little, but to look at the games tomorrow, we'll get into the NFL preseason here as well. But Thursday night football tomorrow night in the CFL, we've got the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I saw one book I was looking at right now, 3.5, but I'm seeing a 3 somewhere else. But ironically enough, the money line is higher at the 3 than the 3.5 spot. Because I was going to say, you know what, get in on this money line now at 160 before it gets stupid. I'm seeing a 170 and 3 right now, but Bano, the Rough Riders injury list is a long one going into the Canadian capital here.
Well, it's Bremer on the offensive line. It's Ryan Sevier on the offensive line. It's Jamarcus Hardrick on the offensive line. It's Anthony Lanier on the defensive line, who missed his first game of the season last week against Edmonton, their best run stuffer. How did Edmonton run the football last week? Oh, yeah, pretty good against Saskatchewan without Anthony Lanier. Jameer Thurman, great linebacker for years in the CFL, out for Saskatchewan. This is a banged-up team, now traveling on a short week on the road. I understand the move to Ottawa. They're undefeated at home. They're off a bye week. Now, the bye week teams have laid an egg at times. A few teams have, and just recently BC did off a bye week against Winnipeg. So it's not a sure thing here, but, I mean, Ottawa, it's set up nicely. They're playing great. Drew Brown's playing well at quarterback. I got in early. I think at three or better, Ottawa's still to play.
I think what Ottawa is, people will criticize them. McInnes last night brought it up. Oh, you know, they beat Edmonton twice. They played Winnipeg. They got Winnipeg early. They beat Hamilton. They beat this. It's like, yeah, that's whatever, true. Dude. They've won 5 out of 7 games that they played in. It's just so it's like we're up to 7 and they keep winning. And sort of true, but at the same point in time, it goes back and forth. Everybody has their ups and downs of the season. But this is just, quite frankly, Cam, it's another spot that sets up nicely for Ottawa at home. And
couldn't agree more.
Ottawa have always, like I said, they've had, you know, their teams have come and gone over the years. It's been frustrating for them. I know they got that great cup win with Burris, you know, whatever, 8 years ago, whatever it was. But for the most part, there was a couple of runs in the old Tony Gabriel days and stuff, right? And you know, with the Ottawa Rough Riders, but been a lot of losing. But if you'll notice, their attendance is good. There's a buzz there, and they're undefeated at home. They keep winning at home right now. I'm taking Ottawa again, and I took Ottawa over 6.5 wins this year. I'm going to get to 6 tomorrow night, baby.
Edmund's coming back, too. Another weapon coming back to the Red Blacks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm seeing the highlights right now, the overnight coverage, whatever, primetime coverage of the skateboarding. Pretty crazy. The dichotomy of the ages of the skateboarders. There was a guy, Andy McDonald. He's one of those old school, like, Tony Hawk guys. He's like in a video game and stuff. Like, he's one of the, like, the original, like, Tony Hawk was watching and go, oh my God, I can't believe this, how cool this is. 51 years old. Skateboarding in the Olympics. He's one of the OGs of the skateboard punk rock, sort of, a punk, but that, you know, the video game and Pennywise and the skate sort of punk scene. He was one of the iconic guys in like the early days selling the boards and the video games and all that. 51 years old. And the youngest Olympian was in skateboarding, actually. An 11-year-old girl from China is an Olympian.
That's amazing.
Imagine like you put your whole life into something and she's 11 and she accomplished it.
You're right.
That's like she's your peer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I worked my whole life to get to this moment.
Yeah.
You look over and your next competitor, an 11-year-old girl from China.
That's cool that a 51-year-old guy can still compete in skateboarding, though. And that's a sport where you take your lumps, Gabe. You know, like it's not easy. That is a hard,
he beat the
hard,
kids.
Hard
that's
sport.
Why it's cool. It's not like he's an old dude taking up a spot either. That's like it's cool. He's an OG. He showed up and he beat the kids, right? At least to qualify and get there and stuff. He didn't win a medal. Neither did the 11-year-old, but still, 11 years old, man, in the Olympics. Like,
nuts.
I was playing in peewee tournaments.
Exactly.
It's just 11. Like, if they were saying, wow, Summer McIntosh was in the Olympics at 14. All right, so I'm taking the Ottawa Red Blacks tomorrow. The Argos are being very, very coy and secretive about the Chad Kelly situation. But I don't think he's going to play this week. I think he will be back, but I don't think it'll be this week.
He won't play. This is the 9th game. Yeah. It's a 9-game suspension. Yeah. He'll be back next week. Yep.
I don't know if he's still got to get approved by the league. It's kind of a gray area. It's not like a...
It's not like he's a first-time offender in his life, either. It's like a guy's got
But Cam, they said we'll talk after 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember, he had to go to counseling, and, like, he's got, I don't know, like, if they're just going to approve it. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. But they've been very, like, secretive about whether he's coming back or not. But I like the Argos here. The Stampeders are another weird team. They're undefeated at home. They've been booed off the field a bunch of times at home, yet somehow they come back and win all the time. Yet on the road, they're freaking terrible. They get lit up, and it's like good week, bad week, good half, bad half for Jake Mayer and their offense. I think the Argos get them. I think it's another high-scoring game. And what do you think, Babano? You got 1 minute here about your Ticats. I'll ask you about this one. Ticats and Alouettes. Alouettes are laying 7.5. Davis Alexander's the quarterback now.
He is, but Montreal's 8-0 straight up, 7-0-1 against the spread versus Hamilton the last 8 meetings, and a lot of those wins have been by double digits. Even though Hamilton's in revenge mode, they're getting more points, and Montreal's 0-3 against the number their last home games. I don't trust Hamilton enough. I don't have a strong opinion on that one. I like the overs in the BC Edmonton game, and I like Toronto on Friday night to avenge that heartbreaking loss against Calgary. Calgary's winless on the road. Can't touch the Stampeders away from McMahon.
Hell, they scored 21 in the fourth to beat the Argos at home. Now the Argos are at home, so they got to find a way to win that game. I'm with you. I'm on Toronto, too.
No, the Stampeders are actually really cool. They're becoming the most predictable team in the league by being so inconsistent. They're consistently inconsistent.
Inconsistent. Like, it's true.
No, but there's a pattern where, like you said, they win at home, they lose on the road. We're clear. Yeah. And when they win at home, they'll be losing and come back. Like, they never had, like, a smooth game ever, really, where they're just good. Quickly on the way out here, and I'll post stuff online tomorrow. Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots tomorrow. I don't care who's playing for who, man. There's no way in hell you can lay 6.5 points with the Patriots in this spot, in my opinion. The point spread is high, and you've got the New York Giants and the Detroit Lions. The Giants are -3.5. I know they've got the quarterback advantage with Drew Locke and with DeVito, who's played games before, but I'm not a fan of these two games tomorrow night, guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like Carolina a bit. I like the over at the Lions-Giants game.
We brought up heavy rains in New York, Babano. Keep your eye on that. See, 34.5. I saw 33.5 in another book. I'm going to take Carolina and just hold my breath like Mark Lawrence would say, Cam. It's the close pit pick. I'm taking your Panthers.
Hey, here's almost +6.5. Seven points in a preseason game.
Give me an early
game.
Touchdown, and we'll cover the spread, baby. That's like one of those type of deals. Like,
I'll take the Giants, too. I think they get it done.
I was leaning with the Lions. My boy, Hendon Hooker. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.